This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Merchants Trust, please go to www.merchantstrust.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. In each edition, Simon Gergel, fund manager at the Merchants Trust, offers his thoughts on developments affecting the UK market and what it means for investors. Simon, it's good to see you again, and congratulations. You've recently announced a strong yearly performance, and on top of that, a 40th successive year of dividend growth. So I guess the question that's probably on the minds of many investors is, how have you maintained 40 years of dividend growth over often difficult and challenging times?
Well, hi, John. It's great to see you again. One of the great features of investment trusts is they're able to put money away in good years to keep growing dividends in more difficult years. And we've been through a financial crisis, we've been through a pandemic, and the ability to store dividends, to store income away for difficult times is clearly crucial. On top of that, of course, we focus on buying high-yielding companies and companies where we think they can grow the dividends over time, typically. But even more important than that is buying companies that are fundamentally sound and good value. And if you do that, even if a company, one or two companies, cut their dividends or rebase their dividends downwards, if you can make money from investing in those businesses, you can reallocate that capital, that money elsewhere, and get income and income growth in the future as well. So by having sound companies and buying them at sensible prices, that underpins the investment approach, which delivers good returns and then can be reinvested to deliver high income over time, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So it's that broad approach really that helps you in this sense.
Yes, and the ability to tuck away money in good times to support you in the more difficult times, which inevitably come at some point.
Okay, so here's the million-dollar question. How are you planning to sustain this successful, strong performance? I guess it's going to be following more of the same.
Yes, I think on top of that, you want within the portfolio, you want, the way we try and do it is to have most of our performance driven by stock selection, by individual company specific factors, rather than big macro calls, trying to call whether the interest rate is going down or the economy is going to be particularly strong or weak. It's quite difficult. And you're going to get it wrong from time to time. If you can have a broad portfolio of companies that you really believe in, that you can think can deliver you performance on average, then even if a few of them go wrong, which they will inevitably do, the average should deliver good returns. So we focus on having a broad portfolio, controlling and thinking about risk very carefully, both at the individual company level and also at the portfolio level. And then when we buy individual companies, to focus on buying fundamentally sound companies that are attractively priced and where they have supportive end market thematic environments. Those three parts of our investment process are what deliver our returns, we believe. So good companies, sensible price, and trying to avoid value traps, trying to find companies that have supportive themes which help them in the long term.
Now, I want to talk more specifically about a subject that's been of huge importance and has had a great effect on many people, businesses as well, and that's energy, the cost of energy as well. The government's recently announced its long-awaited energy security strategy and what it means for the UK, its energy independence and the opportunities it creates for the economy, for businesses and consumers. So I'd be interested in your thoughts on that, Simon. Can you expand a bit more on how you see this?
Yes, I think if you take a step back, the UK sort of almost taken it as read that there'll always be energy around, there'll always be a supply of energy. And I think what's happened in this year in particular is people have started to say, actually, we need to think about energy security. It's not just about the price of energy, and it's not just about reducing carbon emissions over time, which we need to do in terms of the climate crisis or climate problem. It's about also making sure you've got resilient supply. And that means having a diversity of supply. So nuclear, clearly some fossil fuel, some gas, more renewable power. We need significant increase in renewable investment. But also areas like biomass can be important. We've got some investments in that area. And also about the network, the distribution network, the grid, the storage of either gas or electricity. These are all things that come into the mix, and you need a broad supply of different energy sources. They need to be affordable, and they need to be resilient, and you can't be totally dependent on the wind blowing or the sun shining. So all of that's coming into the mix, and I think what we've found is we haven't invested enough as a country in the networks, in the reliability, or in the different fuel sources and energy sources. And so there's a lot of implications going forward, yeah.
So it's fair to say we've been a bit complacent then when it comes to that energy mix.
I think we have, and it's not just us. I mean, other countries have had perhaps even worse problems, potentially. But we've taken it for granted that there's always going to be cheap energy around, and we've not worried too much about the source of that. And so I think you're right, yeah.
Now, Simon, you mentioned biomass there. Now, that's a fascinating segment of the energy industry. Describe a bit more how you see the prospects there.
Yes, it doesn't get a lot of publicity, but actually quite a large part of our renewable production in the UK does come from sustainably sourced biomass. And what's happening in this segment of the electricity market is there are sustainably grown forests, typically in North America, where the trees that are cut down each year are replaced by trees that are grown and planted each year, so that the overall the forest is roughly the same size. Most of the wood and product is being used in the timber industry, or the lumber industry as they call it, but there are residues like sawdust and forestry parts which get left over. Those are shipped to the UK. They're burned in a power station, especially converted power station, and that is used to produce electricity. The carbon emissions from that, which go into the atmosphere, are offset by the carbon that's absorbed by the growing forest. So effectively, it's pretty much carbon neutral. There's a bit of leakage because of transportation. Going forward, they're hoping to start to do carbon capture and storage and take that carbon and inject it into the ground and lock it away. So you could have a carbon negative energy source, which will be really powerful to have if you're trying to reach net zero as an economy, to have an element that's carbon negative. But also, because it's an energy source which is base load, it can be base load, it can be producing whenever you want it to turn it on and off. You're not dependent on the wind, you're not dependent on the sun shining. It's a lot more dependable, a lot more reliable than some of the renewable areas. So as we replace fossil fuels and oil and gas in the base load, we need other sources of base load, and having a bio base load or a renewable base load could be really, really important. And therefore, it's one of the areas that's getting a lot more attention now.
What about the current prospects then and the outlook for the oil and gas sector? I mean, once a hugely important sector for the UK economy, as reserves start to dwindle in the North Sea, of course, less so, but still important. Where do you see the outlook?
Well, we've thought for a long time that there will be demand for hydrocarbons, in particular for gas, for many years, probably decades into the future.
Because we can't just switch it off, I guess.
We can't just switch it off. And we want to get rid of coal, for example, in the global power system. There's a lot of coal still being burnt today, which is highly pollutive. If you can switch that into gas, you can reduce emissions. But you need the security of supply. You need energy to grow economies. On top of that, I think the companies themselves are transitioning. They are investing in hydrogen. They're investing in carbon capture and storage. They are investing in renewable technologies and other areas. So we see a promising future for many of the energy companies, as they not just they're clearly making good money at the moment because of the high energy prices, but they've got a transition plan, and they can have a good prospects, and they can have good prospects into the medium and long term from gradually moving their business model as well. And I think we need these companies to be front and center of the energy revolution. It's going to take a lot longer and be a lot more expensive if we try to transition the economy away from fossil fuels without involving the big energy companies.
So this is, I guess, a more complex question than it might sound, but will this all have a positive impact on dividends and the companies that you invest in?
That is a complex question. I think clearly the high energy prices are helpful for the cash flows and potentially the dividends from the energy companies. I think there's a great deal of investment opportunities. And if you look at the utility area, there's going to be faster growth in the network, which is good for some of the companies that provide transmission and distribution networks. There's going to be faster growth in renewable technologies. So many of the energy companies and the utilities are investing in that area. So yeah, I think there's potential for higher growth, which might ultimately lead to higher dividends. But clearly, companies have to balance investment needs versus payouts to shareholders. And if you're investing more actually they might hold back dividends in the short term. Now, that's not a problem. We want companies to invest if they can invest at a sensible price. So the specific outlook for dividends is not that clear from current energy policy in the short term. I think long term, yes, there are great opportunities, but it might actually mean that dividends are a bit more constrained in one or two of these areas, actually.
So in the short term, maybe it's a pause for thought, but you remain optimistic in the longer term.
Well, we invest for looking for total return. And so there's some great opportunities here for companies to drive a better total return because of the needs we've got as an economy for energy transmission, for energy supply, for renewables and so on. Whether that happens to come in the form of dividends in the short term or whether that comes in longer term cash flows and longer term dividends is more of a moot point, really, actually. We're not too concerned about that. But I think there's some great opportunities, yeah.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, but unfortunately, Simon, we're out of time. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for your time. And thank you for listening to A Value View from the Merchants Trust, where we bring you topical news affecting UK equity markets. And you can find out more about the Merchants Trust by going to merchantstrust.co.uk. And thanks again for listening. And from all of us at the Merchants Trust, stay safe and stay well.